Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Hi. Well, hello again. I'm so glad you're in the front. Fantastic. Well, hey, I hope you had the most amazing day. The weather was perfect. You got to do everything that you wanted to do today, right? Yeah? All right. How many people were behind the jet skis today? How many people want to be behind the jet skis tomorrow? Oh, that looks like so much fun. I'm so glad that you guys are having an amazing time, and hopefully you're learning about Jesus, especially what we were talking about in terms of him being the king. All right, so just as a quick recap here before we get in today, we've talked about this morning particularly how kings are to be obeyed, right? Because they have all the authority. All right? You don't even question it. If a king says, we need this to happen, we got to go do it. They're there to protect us, right? They're to make sure that nothing happens to the kingdom. Everything is actually theirs, right? So even the clothes on our backs belong to the king, and if the king wants to order them to be worn over there, they need to be worn over there. If he wants us all to wear chicken outfits, we'd all have to wear chicken. They were ducks. If the king ordered that we all wear duck outfits, we'd all have to wear duck outfits. What the king says, we must do. Then we better go make them and find them, because the king doesn't like excuses. And then we have to bow down to the king. We have to honor him. We have to put him above all else. Now, I had this thought. What would we do, or what would need to be done, if a king visited us here tonight? Well, I have watched enough movies. I have an idea as to what needs to happen if a king were to come and visit us tonight. So I need you to put your Bibles on your seats, okay? And listen carefully for instructions, because I want to demonstrate what would have to happen if a king or maybe a president came here tonight. All right. So the first thing that would happen, all right, is that we would have to form a perimeter to make sure that only people that we trusted would come in. Does that make sense? All right? That this has to happen if a king is going to come. So the first row, everybody in the first row, right now, I need you to form a perimeter around the building inside here. Okay? Because we got to prepare for the king to come. All right. Get out there. Hurry up. Yeah, you got to spread out, guys. We got to form a perimeter. All right? That's the first thing that has to happen. All right. Next thing, okay? This is good. This is a great perimeter, okay? Because the king is coming, all right? The next thing is we need a bunch of really smart people to do background checks, because we need to know what the background of anybody who comes in is going to be like, all right? Because we don't want any of those hoodlums coming in, you know, or those people who don't like the king. Right? Because we got to make sure the king's okay. So I want everybody in the second row to form two little groups over here and over here. You guys need to do background checks on your little laptop computers with everybody who comes in. This is super important. All right? We can't let anybody come in from that other nation. All right. Get on your computers. Do a background check. So we have a perimeter formed. We got background checks going on. You know what else we need? We're getting there. We need weapons checked. Yes. So we need people at every door to check people as they come in to make sure they don't have any guns or knives in their socks or shoes or anywhere else on their person. So third row, go take care of the doorways for me. Good job, guys. You're doing great. Keep me safe if I'm the king. All right, this is super important. Super important. All right, here's a fun one. Here's a fun one. All right? Not only that, okay? We need snipers. Seriously, right? Because there's a perimeter, but what if someone wants to be outside the perimeter and try to get in? We need snipers to make sure we take out anybody else that comes in. All right? Next row, snipers. Let's go. Go around. Hey, some of you aren't even going to look like you're being snipers. You're just kind of like, la-di-da-di-da, you don't know that I'm a sniper. Oh, wow. Thank you. I feel like the king is almost protected. Okay? This is good. All right. Keep doing the background checks, guys. Don't hold that perimeter. Hold that perimeter. All right. Guys, we're missing one thing. One thing, okay? Shh. This one is super important. Let's say the camera is right here for the king. You know who's on this side and this side of the camera? Security guards who are willing to dodge in front of a bullet. Seriously. Their entire job is to take a bullet for the king. Final row, get ready to take a bullet. All right? If anything's going down, if anybody breaches security, I know. Don't get in the camera, okay? The camera's really important. I got to look really good if I'm the king. This is good. Yep. You got to put your sunglasses on because then we wouldn't know, right? The sunglasses. You got to have your earpiece. Right, really important. Someone says, I don't know if I had a nickname. All right, now, what's the, are we safe? Okay, whew. Now listen, in a real life scenario, there's a lot more security than this. I want you to stop your pretending for a second. You guys were great. But I want you to think about this. If this were an actual king and an actual president, there would be even more security than this. They would plan for months and months just to make sure nothing happened to the king. Because the king is that important. All right? All right, you can have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. You guys were amazing. I felt safe. Now I don't, because now where are my background check people? They should have known this guy wasn't supposed to be up here. We got a rogue sniper on the loose. All right. Well, that was really, really good. I hope you enjoyed that. So, as you guys are finding your seat, I know I got everybody riled up. That's fantastic. I want you to think about this, though. If there were something that would actually happen and like 50 people gave up their lives to save the king, we'd all say, good job, guys. We'd say, good job. You did what you were supposed to do. You saved the king. You stepped in front of the king as something was coming to hit him. Because the king is the most important person in the kingdom. In fact, we're even supposed to be willing to lay down our lives for the king if that should need to take place. Right? We have to protect the king. If the king is there. We're going to look at a passage right now that flips all of this on its end. Because you see, Jesus is the greatest king ever. And because he's the greatest king ever, you would think that every single one of us would be willing to lay down our lives for the king. Because he's that great of a king. But then we get to this verse. So if you have your Bibles, go to John 15. go to John 15. And keep this in mind again. We, being the servants, are supposed to be willing to die for the king. So we're in John, not 1 John, not 2 John, not 3 John, just John. Poor guy. Even though it's all the same person. I don't know, does that mean he had multiple personalities?
No.
Four?
John.
Oh, but it's all the same John who wrote the Bible. Well, this part of the Bible. And then he didn't want to get too arrogant. He wrote Revelation, didn't put his name on that one. Just like, yeah, I don't want to put my name on that one, just in case. All right, if you're in John, I want you to go to 15, and we're going to look at verse 9 through 13. And again, Jesus is the greatest king. We should be laying our lives down for him. It says in verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. This is Jesus speaking. Now remain in my love. He's talking to the disciples. If you keep my commands, remember what we talked about? We have to obey the king. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now he's going to tell you what this command is. He says, my command is this. This is what you need to obey to stay in my love. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. No greater love than this, to lay down one's life for his friends. And do you know what Jesus does right after that? He says, hey, disciples, you're my friends. And then within 36 hours, Jesus, the greatest king ever, went to the cross and willingly gave up his life for his friends. But you see, he's the greatest king ever. Shouldn't we be laying down our lives for him? Shouldn't we? Isn't that how kingdoms work? The king is the highest person. He's the greatest. And so we should be willing to offer ourselves as a sacrifice to him. And yet, he decides to do the exact opposite. He says, I am going to lay down my life for you. The greatest king ever. The greatest king ever. The king who is greater than all other kings. In fact, one of his names is Lord of Lords. King of kings and Lord of Lords. Said, my people are so valuable to me. You guys are worth so much to me that I'm willing to give up my life for you. I'm going to be your security. I'm going to take the bullet for you. I'm going to do the background check for you. I'm going to do the weapons check for you. I'm going to be the sniper for you. I'm going to do all of these things for you because you are so valuable to me. Now, does that sound like a king who would rule in today's world? Does that sound like a president? A president who would be willing to take a bullet for little old Mark here? No, I've never had a president come up to me and go, I'll take a bullet for you, Mark. It seems so backwards. It seems so backwards. But this is what God knew. God knew that he wanted to be with us forever. He knew that. All right? It's always been his heart. It's always been his desire. The king wants to be with his people. He wants to eat with them. He wants to talk with them. He wants to listen to them. He wants to laugh with them, to play with them. He just wants to be with his people. It's his greatest joy to be with his people. But his people didn't know him. And his people were trapped by this thing called sin. Seriously. All right? Yeah, it's in the Bible. I'm not making this up. All right? Sin. You see, there's an enemy to God, and the enemy wants us to live in sin. And once we start sinning, we start separating ourselves from God. We say, the king's over there. Nah, I'm good. I don't want to do what the king says. And when you don't want to do what the king says, you have to get further and further away from the king. He's not your king. You've made your own king. And because we've fallen away from God, because we left him and chose other kings instead of him, he couldn't be with his people that he loved. So he said, I'm going to fix that. I'm going to fix that. I'm going to come in person. Remember we talked about that promise on the very first day? Yeah. I'm going to fulfill that promise. I'm going to come to them, and I'm going to take care of that sin problem. I'm going to come and take care of that enemy problem. I'm going to beat that enemy. Because that enemy thinks that because of sin, you can never be close to me again. But I'll take the sin. I'll take the bullet for them because I love them that much. And so he did that. Jesus, literally the greatest king ever, went to the cross, died, and took all of our sins for us. It's like sin. And he's like, took it. Another sin over there. He'd jump in front of that. Got it. Protecting us from the things that we do to ourselves. Jesus is the greatest king who has ever lived. And he happily, joyfully took every bullet for us. Isn't that incredible? This is why Jesus is the greatest king ever. Right? He's perfect. He's good. He's loving. He's full of peace, joy. He's more powerful than anybody else. But he's also loving to the point where he's willing to lay down his life for his people. Something so backwards to what we would think. And so what should our response to this be? What should our response to what Jesus has done for us? Well, what was Jesus' goal in the first place of doing all of this? Yeah?
To hang out with his people.
To be with his people again. He wants to be with his people. And so I think, and what the Bible says, and what your leaders think, and hopefully what your pastors at your churches talk about and your parents, is that our response to this would be to trust that Jesus is going to take care of us and to go to him and say, Jesus, I got a sin problem, but I trust that you're going to take a bullet for me. So I'm going to come to you. And I want to play with you. I want to hear from you. I want to worship you. I want to love you. I want to talk to you, Jesus. I want you to be my king again. I want your protection. I want your love. I want to honor you and you alone. And Jesus says, yeah, come. Do that. I'm ready. This is why I came. All right? So Jesus is the greatest king ever. And what makes him the greatest king is that he's willing to lay down his life for every single person in this room. And he has. And he will do it again. And again. And again. Our job, our joy, is to trust him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.